This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story Podcast. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump offer two very different views on climate change. One of them will lead the world's greatest producer of fossil fuels and have the power to reshape global climate action. So what would a Harris or Trump presidency mean for the climate crisis? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Across Northern Ireland, on your radio and on BBC Sounds. This is
The Stephen Nolan Show!
On the podcast this morning, what responsibility does Sinn Féin have when it knew that its former press officer, Michael McMonagall, had been suspended? They knew because they suspended him around allegations of child sex offences. What responsibility did Sinn Féin have to make sure that his subsequent employer, the British Heart Foundation, knew? All let out on the Nolan Show this morning.
The Stephen Nolan Show!
Good morning. Questions remain for Sinn Féin today. Michael McMonagall was attracted to children, now convicted for sex crimes against minors. He was a Sinn Féin press officer, and the party suspended him as soon as they found out he had been arrested for allegations around children. But at that time that they suspended him from Sinn Féin, and at the time when he had left the party because of these allegations, did Sinn Féin, our biggest political party in Northern Ireland, have a moral responsibility to alert the British Heart Foundation? McMonagall had gone on to work for the British Heart Foundation. Now, Sinn Féin are talking in their interviews, for example, with our political editor, Enda McClafferty. Conor Murphy's talking about Sinn Féin's legal responsibility to not impede the legal process. I think everybody gets that. But does Sinn Féin not get the questions that remain unanswered by them? So when, for example, Michelle O'Neill was just yards away from Michael McMonagall at an event, when a charity was doing that event with a child, and Michelle O'Neill was just yards away from Michael McGonagall. McMonagall, was she not curious? How's that man anywhere close to children? What did she do? Should she have raised any alarm whatsoever? Did she know? Was she worried? I think these are reasonable questions for our First Minister. Now, Enda McClafferty, and we're going to play the interview in full in just a moment. Enda McClafferty, our political editor, was interviewing Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy about this yesterday, and it got tetchy, Enda.
Yes, it was a difficult interview, Stephen, I have to say, because I think it was uncomfortable ground for Sinn Féin yesterday and very hard for the party to defend because of the actions of its two press officers, which has been trying hard to distance the party from since news of this broke over the course of the weekend. But I think that's very hard for Sinn Féin to do, to say that was them, this is us. There's a difference here, because people on the outside world won't appreciate that, nor indeed will the British Heart Foundation, because as far as the Heart Foundation is concerned, it got two references from Sinn Féin, from a high-ranking member of the Sinn Féin media operation at Stormont. So it wasn't aware of anything happening behind the scenes by way of references not being sanctioned. So therein lies the difficulty, I think, for Sinn Féin around explaining all of this, because there is the legal argument, what they're putting forward, as you say, but there is that moral question about a responsibility in terms of warning a charity about who they've employed.
And to Sinn Féin this morning, and you've just said it, you've just let it out, but in their statement issued yesterday, Sinn Féin say the following: the references were not provided by or on behalf of Sinn Féin. Well, these references were provided by the press officer, Sean McGeer, at the very heart of the Sinn Féin machine. Nothing moved in Northern Ireland without Sean McGeer from Sinn Féin dealing with it on behalf of the party. Caoimhín McGinley was another Sinn Féin press officer. And yet they are saying to the public the references were not provided by or on behalf of Sinn Féin, Enda.
Yes, and the other key question around that, Stephen, is what explanation was given by those two men for providing the references? Because I'm sure they were asked, and we asked Conor Murphy yesterday, did he find out, did he get to the bottom of what was going through their head whenever they sent those two references off? Knowing the circumstances in which Michael McMonagall ended his time at Sinn Féin, he was suspended and under police investigation, information which wasn't disclosed, of course, in the follow-up references. Conor Murphy couldn't answer that yesterday. He said he hadn't been speaking to the two men to get an understanding of what happened around to that. Now, there are questions, Stephen, as to, you know, what was on their mind at the time. Was it the fact that this was a two-year police investigation, that it was a year on by the time they gave the references, it was a further year before his charge? Did they believe that this investigation had fizzled out, for instance? Was Michael McMonagall telling them that he was innocent and there was nothing going to come of this? We don't know the answers to any of those questions, Stephen, because we haven't been provided with any explanation from the party as to what motivated these two press officers to provide those references, which were critical in terms of Michael McMonagall getting a job with the British Heart Foundation.
Yeah, and there is also, to be fair here, there is also an issue around McMonagall had not admitted guilt at that stage, so there is the presumption of innocence in our society. If someone's been arrested, they can still go on and work. But when they are allegations against children, the whole point of this programming is about what is our responsibility, each of us as citizens, what was Michelle O'Neill's responsibility, which is why we want to know, when did she know, what did she know, when she's standing just yards away at Stormont, in Stormont, at a charity where Dahi Mackay's little Dahi is there. Like, yeah. What is the responsibility of any of us? And our First Minister, what was her responsibility? What did she know? Was she curious? Was she upset? Did she say anything to anybody?
Well, we do know the Sinn Féin leadership was fully aware of the allegations facing Michael McMonagall because they got that from the police. We learned that yesterday for the first time from Conor Murphy, the fact that that information was there at the upper levels of the Sinn Féin leadership. So you would imagine that Michelle O'Neill was privy to that information, as was, you would imagine, Conor Murphy as well. So that does put them in a difficult position. But there is this issue, Stephen, you've already flagged it, that Michael McMonagall at that stage was an innocent man. This was before, of course, the case had run its course. And there is an issue about, do we monitor suspects as well as monitoring offenders? And that's another question as well as to where that goes. And perhaps their thinking was, well, if we flag something here, if we prevent this man from getting employment, if it turns out he's innocent, then there could be a case to answer. So you don't know what was going through Sinn Féin's mind at the time in terms of not arriving at a position to warn this charity about the person that they just employed.
Okay. And thank you very much indeed. 03030 80 55 55 is the number to call. The other question that Sinn Féin are refusing so far to answer is, did anyone else within the party know that references had been sought from the British Heart Foundation for McMonagall? So Caoimhín McGinley and Sean McGeer are gone from the party because they provided references for McMonagall and did not stipulate in those references to the British Heart Foundation that McMonagall had been arrested on suspicion of child sex crimes. The question is that Sinn Féin continue to duck. Did anybody else know those references had been asked for? Now, Enda was referencing there his interview with the Economy Minister, Conor Murphy. Obviously, Conor, a prominent member of Sinn Féin. When did Conor become aware that the two references were provided by two members of the Sinn Féin press team for Michael McMonagall to the British Heart Foundation?
Last Wednesday was the first that we became aware of it, following a media query. We became aware of it, and we moved. We established the fact that this was provided without anyone's knowledge. with no clearance sought nor given from the party. As in fact, we wouldn't have given clearance for such a reference to be provided. The party then initiated an investigation, which may have involved disciplinary proceedings in relation to it, and the two individuals involved resigned on Saturday morning.
How could it be, though, that an application comes in for two references and that two people alone are aware of that application, when you consider how contentious it was? We're talking about somebody who was suspended from the party, being investigated for child sex offences, and yet nobody else was involved in this process.
Well, I'm not sure how the process developed itself. I think that it was an online response, but clearly no one was informed. No permission was sought, no advice was sought in relation to dealing with it, and no one knew that the application had been supported or a reference had been provided for the period of time right up to last Wednesday.
People might find that hard to believe, because we're not talking about junior members of staff here, we're talking about probably one of your most senior figures here at Stormont. How was he not aware of the, I suppose, the system around this, that he would have to pass this up the chain, basically?
Well, I can't speak for him. All I know that it didn't happen. And clearly that is an issue for us. We would not have given permission for that a reference to be given for this individual. We suspended him when we were aware of his arrest. That ended our involvement with him, and we would not have authorised anyone to give him a reference for any employment at all. So we weren't aware of it. We didn't know until there was a media inquiry last Wednesday. We then became aware of it, and we initiated action in relation to it, and the two individuals decided to resign.
So we now know that the reference did not include any mention of the fact that Michael McMonagall was suspended from your party, nor indeed that the detail that he was under police investigation for alleged child sex offences. How did that happen? Because surely you got an explanation from those two men as to why they did what they did.
Well, it wasn't the party that did that. So, I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of the party. I can't speak on behalf of the two individuals.
Yeah, but surely you've asked them how did this happen?
Well, I wasn't speaking to either of them. Yeah. But what I can tell you is that we did not know. We would not have provided the reference. We would not have cleared them to provide a reference. And we, on the back of knowing then, when we found that out, only in a matter of days ago, we moved to take action in relation to it, and they left.
So nobody asked them, why did you do that?
Well, I wasn't involved in any of the conversations with them. The fact
is, you weren't curious to find out?
Well, I'm not involved in any of the conversations. The fact is that it's inexplicable as to why the reference was provided. The only people who can answer to that are the two people who provided the reference.
Of course, it raises questions about your systems within the party, the fact that something like this could be allowed to happen. Are there not structures in place that whenever applications come in for references, that there's a referral process, particularly when dealing with a case like this?
Well, I would understand that if such a case came in, that I would not take any action in relation to it myself as an elected representative unless I had some dialogue with other people in the party. And that's clearly understood. The fact that the two individuals involved didn't seek dialogue, didn't seek advice, or didn't seek clearance, I can't explain why that didn't happen. But I think all of our members would know, in cases like this, you certainly would not be in the business of providing references, whether for employment or anything else, unless you had some referral upwards in the party to get some advice in relation to
it. So you did start a process around this. Were you able to establish if anybody else knew about what happened, or was it just these two individuals?
Well, my understanding is it was just the two individuals.
So they didn't share that information with anybody else. So this was a solo run, effectively.
Effectively, and that's why we were only learnt about it last Wednesday, and it was only because of a media inquiry that we learnt about it.
Now, we know from your timeline, you say that Michael McMonagall left your party, terminated his position 3 months prior to those references being given. That means that it was in May of that year. So he effectively was suspended from your party from August till the following May. Yeah. What were the circumstances then that triggered his departure, if you like, from your party?
Well,
what happened around then?
What happened then was that I think that was the period of the election. So the contracts for each individual employee would have ended then. It had to be renewed on the other side of the election. He was still, as far as we were aware, once we suspended him when he was initially questioned, we had no more dealings with him. But as far as we understood, because that was then a police matter, it was up to police to investigate and take whatever course of action, that he was still under investigation. His contract then wasn't renewed and he left.
And just to be clear, the party was aware of the nature of the investigation, that they knew it was about child sex allegations.
Well, that was the intimation that was given to us in the initial stages from the police, that was the area that it was. We suspended him immediately, as I say. When the election came and it was up for contracts to be renewed, the contract wasn't renewed. Explains that.
Yeah, this now raises a much bigger question, of course, because there will be people within your party who will know that he took up that job with the British Heart Foundation. He was filmed here at Stormont at the launch of the Dahi McGowan campaign, but yet nobody in your party sought to red flag the charity to say there could be a problem here.
Well, when we suspended him and he ended his engagement with us, that matter from then until the point that he was charged was a matter for the police. So we have no involvement. It's not our job to do the investigation. It's not our job to... Sorry, just this point. I mean, the question is, you know, what would you do in those circumstances? We are not involved in the investigation. We are not involved in advising anyone in relation to the investigation. That is a matter for the police. Anything to do, anything in relation to that could potentially be prejudicial. It was up to the police to gather sufficient evidence to decide to charge
Surely you have a moral obligation when you see somebody on the Stormont estate working for a charity, and your party knows he's under investigation by the police for a fairly serious charge, and yet in all you stay quiet around all of that. How is that acceptable?
Well, what would you do in the start? What are you suggesting we should have done in the
start? Red flag.
You're suggesting we should have gone in the middle of a police investigation and advised a potential employer that someone was that was illegal.
But surely that's what reference are about.
Well, we didn't know a reference had been given for him. We had not been sought as a party. We had not been sought our advice in relation to him.
Can you understand, though?
I can understand what you're saying.
And the British Heart Foundation, because they think they got somebody with a clean bill of health from your party, courtesy of the two references that they got. Well, all along, they were employing somebody who was under police investigation. Your party knew about it, but didn't tell them.
Yes, but our party knew that the police were dealing with the matter. We have no input in, nor should we have any input into that. We should not be trying to influence that in any
shape. Surely you have a moral obligation.
In any shape or form. Well, we have a legal obligation as well.
Absolutely. But why not red flag somebody when you knew he was working in a charity with children?
Okay. The legal obligation that we have, and we had as an employer, was to take action against him. The legal obligation we have in relation to police investigation is to allow that investigation to run its course, not to take any action which might influence the course otherwise, negatively or positively influence the course. The police responsibility is to gather up sufficient information to decide whether they want to charge him, and that's what they did.
That's all very well, but your party was in a position to alert the charity to say, you've now employed somebody who was previously employed suspended from us, and also under police investigation. Are you aware of that detail? But you opted not to do that as a party.
Seriously, the BBC asked me these types of questions.
Well, is that not a fair question?
I'm wondering what went wrong. I would have done due diligence if I was employing somebody myself. But secondly, what I'm saying is we have a legal responsibility not to interfere with the police investigation. We had no contact with that person afterwards. We did not know what he was doing or anything more about him. We knew that the police were conducting an investigation. We had a responsibility, a legal responsibility, and a moral responsibility as well, to make sure that investigation wasn't interfered with in any way.
And you had no responsibility to this person's new employers then to be able to say, you know, there could be an issue here.
That's
a problem for them now.
When he was charged, and that was the point, I believe that they took action against him when he was charged, we had a responsibility not to interfere in that investigation until such times as he was charged. Then it became a public matter.
So as far as you're concerned, Sinn Féin does not owe the British Heart Foundation an apology around all this, does not owe the British Heart Foundation an explanation as to what happened because they have lots of questions.
Well, they may have, but I would like to somebody, maybe the British Heart Foundation, tell us what the legal responsibility we had in the middle of a police investigation was to go off interfering with that, to spread accusations or to inform people of suspicions about someone who hadn't been at that stage charged. There's a legal question here, Enda, that you have to also adhere to. I get the dilemma that the British Heart Foundation was in, but we suspended the person. We had no more dealings with him until they terminated his contract, and the investigation had not run its course.
Okay.
So from our perspective, we did not know what was going to happen to Michael McMonagle over that period of time.
But you can understand how people on the outside looking in would say, you're here at Stormont, you're in the business of drawing up strategies to protect people in the wider community out there. That's the business you're in. But yet, all this was something happening under your nose, and people might question the way you dealt with it.
We're also in the business of adhering to the law and setting legislation here and creating laws. So we can't decide to flout laws because we feel something might blow back on us as a party. We have a legal responsibility to allow the police to conduct their investigation. Had we interfered in that, me and you would be having a different conversation now.
You see, what part does Conor Murphy not get? That it does not impede a police investigation. It is not prejudicial. On no planet is it prejudicial to warn a charity which is working for children that Sinn Féin had sufficient concern that they suspended McMonagle from their party? Like, does Sinn Féin not get this? There is no law in this land, none, that would allow Sinn Féin to say that person's no longer appropriate to be working within our party, but for them not to simply alert a charity who is working with children that Sinn Féin were aware of concerns around McMonagall. And if it was prejudicial, as Connor is suggesting, if it would have been prejudicial for Sinn Féin to alert the British Heart Foundation, how was it not prejudicial for Sinn Féin to take any action against McMonagall? It does not stack up. And the other question to Sinn Féin is, they are leaders in our country. So what is their messaging to every single one of us if we become aware of someone who has been arrested for suspicions around children? As soon as we know it's a police matter, do we stand back? Do we stay completely silent? Is that the messaging from the biggest political party in Northern Ireland? And then when the leader of this country, the First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, is at an event at Stormont. She was the deputy leader then. She is the leader now. She was just feet away from Michael McMonagall. It is inconceivable that Michael McMonagall, having left the party, having been suspended by the party, under the circumstances he was, it is inconceivable that Michelle O'Neill did not know the circumstances around which Michael McMonagall was suspended. Now, if that is the case, Sinn Féin should tell us, every one of us. So there's Michelle now, standing at an event at Stormont, someone her party has suspended because there were suspicion of sex crimes against children. And Sinn Féin refusing to tell us if Michelle was concerned, refusing to tell us whether Michelle noticed Michael McMonagall at that event, if she didn't just tell us. Now, the legal expert, Joshua Rosenberg, with us this morning. Is there any law that would have prevented, Joshua, Sinn Féin alerting the British Heart Foundation that Michael McMonagall had been suspended by the party because of this police arrest?
Stephen, you're absolutely right. As far as I can see, there is no law that would have prevented Sinn Féin from alerting the British Heart Foundation. And as Ender made clear when he questioned Conor Murphy, and as you've raised, Conor Murphy doesn't really explain how that could possibly have prejudiced the police investigation. Sure, the British Heart Foundation might have sacked Michael McGonagall. Sure, they would have had questions to raise
McMonagall.
Sure, they would have had questions to raise with Sinn Féin. But I can't see how their investigation would have been prejudiced simply because the reason for his suspension by Sinn Féin was communicated to the British Heart Foundation.
Yeah, it's not a question for you, Josh. I'll come back to more questions for you. But clearly, obviously, the other aspect to this is the biggest party in Northern Ireland legislates and all of those laws affect us. So here we have a minister in government thinking, publicly saying that for them to have alerted the British Heart Foundation would have prejudiced a court case. These are the same people who are creating laws. Have they no understanding that it would not have prejudiced the police investigation?
Conor Murphy is obviously in a very difficult position because what this shows is that within his party, the ordinary employment structures simply didn't work. We can infer that from the fact that the two Sinn Féin press officers who gave references for McMonagall resigned once they were questioned about what they did. So, and I think that was clear from what Conor Murphy said, that they did so without reference up to the General Secretary, to the management, to head of personnel, whoever it is in Sinn Féin who is responsible for staff or employment matters. So that's the problem within Sinn Féin. These two people were apparently able to send out references without the authority of the party, and that's clearly a flaw within the structure of the party.
Well, you say that, and Sinn Féin are saying in their statements, and Conor repeated it in his interview with Enda, we did not provide a reference. But if the Sinn Féin press machine through Sean McGeer and Keelan McGinley are being asked for a reference, how is that not Sinn Féin providing a reference? Conor's argument is they didn't refer up. Sinn Féin gave Sean McGeer the authority and trusted him with the authority of being their most senior press officer in Northern Ireland. Then Conor has a pop at the British Heart Foundation. And he says, we would have done due diligence if I was employing someone ourselves. Like, they would have done due diligence. The British Heart Foundation contacted Sinn Féin seeking references.
Precisely so. And they got references from two individuals who may not have been high up in the personnel structure of the party.
Sean McGeer was as high as it goes. He was one of the press officers. It doesn't go higher.
Well, there you are. That's the point. They speak for the party in public. They are known as people who speak for the party in public. So British Heart Foundation can't be blamed for accepting what those two said.
And just to explain to the public how senior Sean McGeer was. Sean McGeer was one of the press officers that's now resigned because he provided this reference. In terms of Sean, just to give you a sense of just how powerful Sean was, Conor Murphy himself would have needed to ask Sean for permission, clearance. He certainly would have had to have kept Sean in the loop before he appeared in any media interview. That's how senior Sean McGeer was.
Yes, you make the point very clearly. And I can't see how you could accuse the British Heart Foundation of not doing due diligence, not making the necessary inquiries, if it did so and got that response from Sean McGeer.
Now, what about some people are accused of crime. It is not the case with McMonagall. But some people are accused of crime and they are innocent. And we have a presumption of innocence in this country. So what about the privacy laws in this country? The right to that presumption of innocence, where if Sinn Féin were to be contacting a future employer, tipping them off about an accusation, and subsequently that accusation resulted in an awareness that it was a false accusation.
I think most people going for a new job and applying to work for a different employer would expect that new employer to take up references with an old employer. That's pretty standard practice in the world of work. So I think there's an implied consent on behalf of McMonagall to the British Heart Foundation to make inquiries of Sinn Féin about his previous employment. Now, it's not a requirement of Sinn Féin to say anything. Advice to employers may just be, well, this individual worked for us from this date to that date, and that was it, and this was their job title. And if Sinn Féin had done that, well, we don't know whether the British Heart Foundation would have employed him, but we do know that they wouldn't be accused of misleading the British Heart Foundation. So I don't think there's any question of invasion of privacy if you go to a new employer, because you must expect them to make inquiries, take up references. You do that in all sorts of circumstances, and I think there's implied consent.
Joshua, thank you very much. 0330 80 55 55. We'll ask all of you this morning to tell us, to tell Sinn Féin. Let's have a conversation. What did we expect? Do we expect Sinn Féin to have done in this situation? They are very much saying, in fact, Sean McGeer, I've explained just how senior he was. Conor Murphy has set out in that interview with Conor, he literally said it, from the point his party suspended McMonagall, it was a matter for the police. And that is at the heart of this conversation this morning. Was it just a matter for the police? Was it not up to Sinn Féin to do anything else in terms of awareness about concerns about McMonagall? They had information that clearly the British Heart Foundation did not. Our First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, the team within Sinn Féin, were they not curious? How did McMonagall get that job? Why is the British Heart Foundation allowing McMonagall to be around children? Were they not curious? Maybe it's because the British Heart Foundation didn't know. Not curious? Why were Sinn Féin not curious if McMonagall's in a new job? Did they not ask us for references? And then for Conor Murphy yesterday, how do you all feel? Conor Murphy's now having a pop at the British Heart Foundation. He says that if it had been him, he would have done due diligence. 03030 80 55 55. We'll pause there. We'll get the news from the BBC. Peter's in Belfast. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Stephen. I was just wondering there, if he had applied for a job in my child's school as, say, an admin or even driving the school bus, and the party became aware of that, are they telling me they wouldn't have even bothered notifying the school?
Well,
because it was nothing to do with them.
If you take the logic and the thrust of what Conor Murphy has said to Andrew McLafferty, yes, they would not have told you or the school that there was someone suspected of child sex offences working in that school. Because Conor Murphy's logic and his statement is, at the point that Sinn Féin suspended McMonagall from their party, that was it. It was down to the police, and they could not get involved in telling anybody about anything because that would be prejudicial. And it is just not true.
Well, that's saying a lot for the people we are voting for.
Now, when I say it's not true, it does not affect it. There are rules in this country. What Conor's talking about is contempt of court. And there are rules in this country about when there is an active court case, that if you start contacting people and you publicly start to express opinion about an individual who is up on charges, then that could affect their right to a fair trial. That is not what was happening here. This was someone who had not at that point been charged. This is someone who was suspected of to the point where he had been arrested. I think there were 15 different, subsequently there were 15 different accusations around children. McMonagall was pleading his innocence at that time. The conversation, Peter, is, does someone like you expect any of the leaders of this country to proactively be curious about someone accused of sex crimes working with a charity that's interacting with children?
Well, if it happened across the water, I think there'd be a bit of a kick-up about it.
And as I've said to you, Peter, you know, we are curious and we're affording Sinn Féin as much opportunity as we can to say to us, look, with regards then to what we know, which was after McMonagall had been suspended by Sinn Féin, after they knew what he had been suspended for, because Conor confirms that the police had tipped them off, that it was regarding child sex crimes. Did Michelle O'Neill see McMonagall at Stormont at a charity event regarding children, little Dahi McGowan? Did she see him there?
I'd also like to know, would they do exactly the same again?
Well, that's the key question of the day.
Yep,
that is the key question, and you've put a hypothetical situation. If Sinn Féin are aware of someone that have been arrested on suspicion of offences against children, would they simply rely on a police investigation and not inform a school if they knew that person was then working in a school?
They'll have to give a bit more thought next time I put an X down.
Peter, good morning to you. The Ulster Unionist Party's Doug Beattie with us this morning. You've been listening to this, Doug. You've got some thoughts on this. Good morning.
No, I think my thoughts have been well explored, Stephen, if I'm really honest. I mean, there's safeguarding issues that we're talking about here, safeguarding of some of our most vulnerable, that is children. And Sinn Féin have a moral responsibility to inform a charity or any other company that somebody's working for that an individual is under investigation. And I think that question has just been posed. But if we were to rerun this again, what would Sinn Féin do? I think the answer would be Sinn Féin would absolutely tell the charity or the company that the person they have is under investigation for sex crimes against.
Well, within the last 24 hours, Conor Murphy hasn't admitted that. He has said he's had a pop at the British Heart Foundation and said that if it were him, that he's basically said they should have done their due diligence.
Yeah, so well, that's just passing the buck. They had the information. They knew. They literally knew and did not pass this information on. Do you know what? Sometimes politics goes at breakneck speed, Stephen, and sometimes people get things wrong. But do you know what annoys me the most? Is when people get some things wrong and they don't admit being wrong by just sticking their hands up and saying, look, I got this absolutely wrong. We've got this wrong. We've missed this. We're going to look at our procedures and make sure this never happens again. And they're not doing that. They're doubling down to say, because of legal considerations, we couldn't do nothing. What a load of nonsense. If you know that somebody's under investigation for crimes, sex crimes against children, you would inform the school, you would inform the company, you would inform the charity. It is the morally right thing to do, and they should have done it, and they know they should have done it. And this doubling down and putting Conor Murphy out to be the fall guy for them, it's making them look stupid.
Now, what if Sinn Féin had done that? Let's distance this then from the McMonagall case for a second, Doug, to make the point behind this question. So what if any body with evidence of a suspicion contacts an employer about that suspect, and that suspect has been innocent all along?
Well, this is the difference between somebody contacting it over suspicion. And I get people who ring me all the time in my office about suspicions about various crimes that's going on. That's different from there is a police case against this individual. This person would be investigated by the police.
No, before charge, Doug, surely you're wrong there. Before charge, the police are investigating suspicions. That's what they're doing.
No. Okay, so I mean, you're posing something which is hypothetical to me, Stephen. So I get calls into my office all the time. You know, there's drug dealers and such, or this house is dealing drugs, and the police go out and they do a quick check, and they come back and they say, no, there's nothing to that. That's very different from the police saying, I now have an evidence, I'm building a file, an investigation against an individual, and that's what they were doing with McMonagall whenever he left Sinn Féin. Remember, Sinn Féin suspended him because of this when he left Sinn Féin and then applied for a new job. That's why they got him to leave, not on a suspicion, but because there was a case being built against the individual. That's where the concern lies. And the which way you cut this, and no matter what hypotheticals you use, if you are a person who has moral responsibility, then it's important that you pass that on. And then let at least the charity or the company or the school or wherever do their due diligence by having all of the information that's available.
Well, equally, is there a question for the PSNI? Should they have told the British Heart Foundation?
Well, look, I'm not sure that the PSNI even would have the ability to follow every individual and what direction they're going and what job applications they're applying for. I mean, this individual left the employment of Sinn Féin. He applied for another job. Two of Sinn Féin's press office applied references to him. There's an understanding, I suppose, within Sinn Féin that he was moving on to a different field. So they would have known. I think it's unfair to try and lay all this onto the police for not following somebody.
I'm not laying it all onto them.
It is a fair question. I'm not talking about you directly, Stephen, but I think it's unfair for us to think that the police have the ability to chase somebody through and find out where they're going afterwards. All they can do is exactly what they're supposed to do, and that is do the investigation. That's what they do. But the reality is Sinn Féin must have known. In fact, Sinn Féin did know that because they suspended him because of this. But yet they didn't have that moral responsibility within them to inform the charity that he's taken up work with. And you've already highlighted this, Stephen. They saw him at that charity event in Stormont. They saw him with children, and yet they thought nothing to pass that on. I think, I mean, for me, you know, people can get things wrong, but I think they need to own up when they get things wrong.
We don't know that they saw McMonagall with children. We know that Michelle O'Neill was just feet away from McMonagall at that event at Stormont. We've asked Sinn Féin when Michelle O'Neill knew. We would like clarity as to, did she see him at that event? She was just feet away. This is someone who she would have worked with in the past before she knew what happened. This is someone that would have been on first name terms with Michelle. Did she not notice him at this event?
Well, there's the point, Stephen. And I try to reflect, you know, of people who I've worked with in the past. And if I see them, you know, I always end up saying hello to them, passing the time of day, shaking a hand. Without a shadow of a doubt, if somebody has worked with you for a long period of time and you see them, then you're going to acknowledge them in some shape or form. So I think Michelle needs to come out and be honest. Did she see him? Did she acknowledge him? Did none of this register with her? That's okay. If that's what's happened, that's what's happened. But this doubling down on you know, we said nothing because it was a legal case on running just doesn't work. So I think she would have seen him. I think she'd have probably acknowledged him as well. But I don't know that. She needs to answer that.
I'm sorry to state the obvious. And look, this is too important a matter for anybody to remotely think I'm being facetious. But to make the point around the questioning of how Conor Murphy explained this to Enda McClafferty yesterday, does this mean from this point on, as soon as there is a police investigation into anything in Northern Ireland, Sinn Féin will be unable to comment? So can we expect all politicians within Sinn Féin now to never comment about... There was a police investigation into the Ormond Road. The First Minister was publicly commenting into the Ormond Road incident involving those two police officers. It is a weekly occurrence that when, even if there is a police investigation, Sinn Féin and any other political party comment.
Stephen, absolutely they do. And the Ormond Road, not only did they comment, but they influenced the outcome. And that's a reality, whether people want it or not. They commented and the outcome was because of their comments. So if that's what they're saying, we'll see that in the coming days, weeks, months and years. I just don't think they'll be able to hold that one. I think they've got it badly wrong. They know full rightly that they had to suspend this individual because of this investigation. So this isn't rumour. They took action. They took action to suspend this individual and then have this individual leave the party. So they had already taken action in regards to this. They should have taken more action. And that is saying that the individual who has applied for employment with you, you need to understand he is under police investigation.
Doug, thanks for coming on this morning. 03030 80 55 55. Paul in Andersonstown. Morning, Paul.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Morning. Go ahead.
I think we're seeing a bit of manufactured hysteria here with this story from yourself. Have you ever given anyone a reference, Stephen?
Yeah.
You have. And now, I gave a reference to a person on Monday. That's maybe about the 60th reference in the last 2 years I've given. And I work for a large company. And not once have I ever had to refer up further up the chain to give someone a reference. So, the fact that you think that the upper echelons of Sinn Féin should have known that there was two personal, these are personal references. They're not company references. They're not Sinn Féin references. They're two personal references. That's how references work. So, in no field of employment, Stephen, do you have to clear things with your chief executive?
Well, just you're accusing me of sensationalising this story, Paul.
You are. You absolutely are.
And you're entitled to accuse me of that. That's fair game. That's no problem. But just as a point of fact, the people who are saying this should have been referred up is Sinn Féin, not me. They're saying it should have been referred up to them.
That's up to Sinn Féin. That's up to them. I'm telling you, in the places that I've worked for and the people I provided references for, never have I had to refer up the lane. to give a personal reference, because that's what a reference is. You're put down on a job application for two referees and you name two personal referees. That's how it works.
This discussion, Paul, that we're having today is not about whether Sean McGeer and Kieran McGinley should have referred it up within Sinn Féin, because that's a different conversation. The conversation we're having today is, what do we, the citizens of this country, expect of any political party or any other organisation when they know their former employee has been, they have suspended them around allegations involving sexual attraction to children.
Mm-hmm.
What do we expect our leader, as in our First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, to have done? What do we expect Sinn Féin to have done? And Sinn Féin are saying, once it's in the police's hands, they have no responsibility. And that's what we're having a conversation around.
Do you know that McMonagall's job involved being around vulnerable people or children?
Yes.
Can you tell me which post he applied for?
So when he was in the British Heart Foundation, so let's just walk through the timeline of this, right? So Sinn Féin are told by the police that McMonagall had been arrested on suspicion of sex crimes against children. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sinn Féin then know that McMonagall is working for the British Heart Foundation. So nothing to do with the references are there. That's a different part of the story.
Sorry, Stephen, hold on a second. Sinn Féin were told by the police, then they did what?
What do you mean?
What did Sinn Féin do then once
they
were told?
They suspended him.
They suspended him. So he wasn't working for the Heart Foundation then. Can just clarify that?
Correct.
Right, you just said he was.
No. Let me be clear. They suspended him as soon as they found out that McMonagall had been arrested on suspicion of crimes, sex crimes.
So they did their due diligence and suspended this person.
Well, and the discussion we're having this morning is that enough? Well, so they suspend him. Well, hold on. Let me put this to you. So they suspend him, right? So they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
They then know that he's working for someone else, the British Heart Foundation.
And how long after this was this after he was suspended?
I need to get the exact dates. We then know that Michelle O'Neill is at that event where that charity is interacting with children and McMonagall's there.
Okay.
Should anybody of Sinn Féin, from Sinn Féin, have said to the British Heart Foundation, we don't think this guy can work for us. How is he working for you? We don't think it's safe for him to work within Sinn Féin. How is it safe for you to be employing him? Are those not reasonable questions?
So can I just make a point then on just on that there? You see, I'm presuming, just given what you're explaining here, that this guy would have had access to vulnerable people, including children. Now, any employer that I have worked for, where that's the case, there's an access NRI check carried out by the employer.
Correct.
So was that carried out by the British Heart Foundation?
Well, if someone is suspected of a crime, right, they have not been charged. This is the whole point of the discussion around what should Sinn Féin morally have done. So to answer that question, it's why this conversation is so important. Right?
No, but Stephen, you're...
No, but
you're
let me tell you, let me answer your question.
Stephen,
Let me answer it.
Access NI police check carried out by his employer.
Can I answer it? Until someone is prosecuted, charged, convicted, it wouldn't appear on an access NI search. So that's why we are discussing what's the responsibility, in this case Sinn Féin, in future cases of any other organisation, if they've suspended someone on suspicion of sex crimes and they then know that person is interacting with children. John Burrows, former senior police officer with us. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
What's this? You know, there is a tightrope here of the presumption of innocence, people wrongly being accused of things and needing to work while they're being falsely accused of things, and this story where the person who was suspected of crimes was attracted to children, was a paedophile, was convicted and pled guilty to a whole range of offences against children.
Yeah, look, there are complex issues here, but, you know, it's very clear to me, you know, I think Sinn Féin have dropped the ball here. And why I say that is this. First of all, to Neil Conor Murphy's assertion that doing anything in this case in terms of communicating with the British Heart Foundation would have interfered with the police investigation, that's just palpable nonsense. Okay? Two employers talking to each other about a vetting issue privately and properly does not interfere with the police investigation. It wouldn't be public discussion. It's not tittle-tattle. It's specific. And the second thing a lot of people are missing in this case is Sinn Féin would never have had to disclose anything about the child sex issues. All they simply would have to make sure is the British Heart Foundation knew that they had cause to suspend this individual. Because that then would have invited the British Heart Foundation to ask the applicant, well, we understand you're suspended from your last job, what's that all about? And that actually would have resolved this. So they didn't even have to disclose anything about the criminal investigation, only that as an employer, they had sufficient cause to suspend the individual. So, you know, Sinn Féin really need to have a different tone in this and say, look, clearly something's went wrong. We want to find out what went wrong, and we want to make sure this never happens again. Because what we haven't heard is, well, you know, if these two people give a reference and they shouldn't have, what's the Sinn Féin policy in references? Is there a policy in black and white that says you have to seek permission, that references come in from HR? So, for example, in the police service, one example of organisation I was in, police officers can't give references. It's a stated policy, and any request from references go into HR to avoid this situation. The second issue is, what is their policy on suspensions? When someone's suspended, what steps does the organisation take to communicate to the rest of the organisation, to the rest of the party? Look, this individual's been suspended, they're not allowed into our premises, you know, they're not allowed access to our systems, and you're not allowed to give a reference for them. So, you know, Sinn Féin need to answer all these policy and systemic issues. Because as it stands, someone who was under investigation for abusing children got references from Sinn Féin. And that is the bottom line, and they need to make sure this never happens again.
Do you get that sense that they're reflecting on all this?
And that is what irritated me yesterday when I hear Conor Murphy speaking. There was a tone of, this is nothing to do with us. This is two individuals, nothing to do with us. There was a tone, and I think your question, you're asked a million-dollar question, and that was, well, would this happen again? And would Sinn Féin do exactly the same again? So they can't have it both ways. You know, they need to actually say, clearly something went wrong, and they need to make sure that we get to the bottom of it and it doesn't happen again. Because, look, this is a real near-miss. You know, other children could have been abused. And, you know, the primary line of defence for employers is accurate references.
Okay. John, thank you very much. Thank you. Well, look, we're continuing our coverage around Sinn Féin. The safeguarding of children is an active, doesn't get more important, discussion in Northern Ireland. We have this curious situation now where it is Sinn Féin's public position that they could not have contacted the British Heart Foundation, which their former press officer, Michael McMonagall, who is attracted to children, who was convicted of many different crimes in terms of trying to incite children with regards to sexual activity. It is Sinn Féin's public position to all of you that as soon as there was a police investigation, they could not have told anybody else about this because that would have been prejudicial. In other words, for them to comment on it at all, they couldn't have done so because it would have interfered with the judicial process. Even privately to another organisation. And I am looking Sinn Féin straight in the eye this morning and I am asking them, how many people do you feel believe you when they know that with regards to other crimes which did not involve children, for example, as I cited a few minutes ago, the incident on the Ormo Road when there were two, which involved two police officers, how come your party, right up to the top of your party, Michelle O'Neill, Mary Lou McDonald, were able to comment on an active police investigation around that. How come you could Google hundreds of incidents involving police investigations where Sinn Féin have openly, proactively, sometimes aggressively commented about investigations, where they should go, how they felt the police were or were not investigating properly? How come when it came to the safety of children, you're telling the public that you could not have spoken to the British Heart Foundation because it would have prejudiced the judicial process? How does that stack up, Conor Murphy? Now, Marcella Leonard is a safeguarding consultant. Good morning, Marcella.
Good morning, Stephen.
And the reason this is so important is that from the leaders of our country, no matter whether it's Sinn Féin or anybody else, we need clear guidance as to what each of us as citizens can and should do when we become aware of suspicions around someone who has access to children.
Well, yeah, but I suppose for me, Stephen, I'm very clear that people do have that guidance. I think it's one of these strap lines that people are constantly told, which is that safeguarding is everybody's business, but it's all of the concern that people think, well, it's actually not really my business. But it is. When if you've decided that somebody, because of the offences for which they're being investigated, is not something that you want within your organisation, and you suspend that person, well, by the very nature of that, would then imply, do you believe that it's okay for that person then to be working with another organisation? But let's be clear, it doesn't matter whether it's the British Heart Foundation or any other charitable, generally they are working with children. Regardless of whether or not that person has a direct contact with children, the reality is it's about vulnerability. And one of the things we have learned from, for example, institutional abuses, from different organisation abuses over the generations, has been this idea that you can move the problem on to somebody else. Therefore, there is clear guidance, Stephen, that organisations do know they have a responsibility to protect. And I don't accept, therefore, people saying, well, we couldn't do that. You have a responsibility to protect. And children are the most vulnerable in our society, and we have to protect them.
So what should Sinn Féin have done?
I'm very clear that any organisation who suspends an individual because they're being investigated by the police for child sexual offences, and whether or not they knew the references had been undertaken or not, they certainly knew that the individual was working with British Heart Foundation, that they should have then informed them that that person was under suspension. That is without prejudice, because the person is being suspended pending investigation. You're not saying that they've done it. You're not saying that they're guilty of it. You're making no comment on that. But that certainly, for me, they should have highlighted to a charity that works with vulnerable persons in terms of their because of their health, in terms of heart conditions, which includes children, is that we need to let you be aware that this person is currently suspended from our organisation because of what they're being investigated for, which would have left then the British Heart Foundation then with their need to then enact their own safeguarding procedures in terms of safer recruitment.
But for. The journalism of the Sunday World newspaper, we still to this day would not have known that Sinn Féin provided references for McMonagall while he was under suspicion for child sex offences. And look, Sinn Féin dispute it was them, but it was two members of the Sinn Féin press office, Caoimhe McGinley and Sean McGeer, who provided the references.
Well, I think for me, Stephen, the important thing here is that for any person in engaging and providing a reference for anybody, is there's a moral duty that if you're providing a reference, it's basically a character. You're saying that this person is somebody who I believe is of good character and is fit to carry out the job for which that they are applying for. So there's a duty and a personal responsibility on every person, regardless of what organisation. So your first line is, you as an individual have to make a decision around, do I believe that this is somebody who's of good character and have no reason to doubt that they would not be fit to carry out this job they've applied for? Then the second bit is, if they arose, so a part of an organisation, and that organisation, in terms of whether it's a political organisation or any, that organisation is an organisation that has an element of position of trust in our society. Well, that means your reference is going to be even more taken to be of good standing, because it's somebody apply who is given a reference who is in a position of a trust and authority in that organisation. And therefore, even more so, your reference is going to be taken to be even more of the proper standard, and therefore that we would follow that through. So I think what's important here is not just organisational responsibility. For me, it's the two individuals who decided, regardless of what this person was being investigated for, they personally made the decision that they decided, regardless of what that person's being investigated for, they were going to withhold that information from a charitable organisation. And then you have the next step, which is they also withheld it, to the best of my knowledge, from what I'm understanding, they withheld it then from their organisation. But then the organisation, so you have three levels. So then the organisation did know that he was employed. So they had that. So there's a bit of, they had that opportunity then to say, by the way, this person is currently suspended from our organisation due to investigation. So there's a bit of that belt and braces, Stephen, which is really important in safeguarding, because the first level might think, well, look, he's somebody I know him really well. I'd feel bad if I didn't give him a reference. But the second level is, but I'm a senior member in an organisation, so I can't. But I'll read it up the line, and maybe somebody above me is able to say, look, you can't do that, and that gets me out of having to do it personally. So we understand those dilemmas. But the fact that the two individuals decided that, as far as they're concerned, being investigated for child sexual offences is not a reason to stop somebody applying for a job with a charity through which they would have contacted children, that's unacceptable.
The response from Sinn Féin yesterday was to accuse the British Heart Foundation of not doing enough due diligence.
Well, I think it's very difficult for me to comment, Stephen. I don't know what the British Heart Foundation knew.
They asked for references from Sinn Féin.
That's right. So they asked for references. So therefore, if in that reference, for example, what I don't know is their reference, their form that you would fill in. So did that form ask, is this person, do they have any convictions? Is there any, normally a reference would ask you, is there any reason why you would have any concerns, or you believe the person could not, apply for this job? There's usually something vaguely around that in your ask. And that's a good open question to allow somebody to be able to raise any concerns. The British Heart Foundation, of course, have their own responsibility to do due diligence. But the issue as well is what's put on a reference. And if, for example, and I think it is an important thing is the status of the people who are providing the reference. If the status of the individuals providing the reference is deemed to be of, again, significant status in the organisation, well, there's probably, which again is where the lacking belt and braces approach, they're probably assuming these individuals have had due diligence, a moral compass, to not give a reference to somebody who potentially could pose a risk. And so therefore, you're absolutely right. The British Heart Foundation absolutely need to look at their own due diligence around safer recruitment. But we do also have, and this is where I'm going back to the strapline of safeguarding, is everybody's business. People will fall through the net. We know that. People do fall through the net. So therefore, we have to make sure we don't provide the holes in that net, regardless of which level you're at.
Well, the British Heart Foundation have told us off the back of questions that we asked them that they have already reviewed the circumstances and that references were sought in line with the British Heart Foundation standard policy. They say that they're confident that their policy around the sourcing of references is suitable, that they're confident that it's in line with best practice. They say they risk assess all roles to decide if they require an enhanced DBS check and request enhanced DBS checks for individuals such as cardiac nurses who support their heart helpline. We do not, they say, currently request enhanced DBS check members of the media team, as the role would not meet the criteria required to apply. Can you clear up something for me? Because it's been rattling around my brain since I answered it to one of our callers earlier. If someone is arrested before charge by the police, I said to that caller that would not appear on a DBS check. Was I right? Can I just double check that with you?
Yeah. They pick up, and I suppose this is one of the things that I suppose that the public of Northern Ireland needs to know is it's what I've just said there is about belt and braces is that those checks, which would be carried, it's not DBS, it would be the Access NI within
Correct.
Northern Ireland.
Correct.
Yeah. So that picks up convictions. So what we know, those of us that work in the field of safeguarding know that the majority of victims of sexual offences and of criminality, you know, the majority of victims of crime do not get an end result of a conviction for all sorts of reasons. The conviction rates in Northern Ireland, right across the world, around sexual offences is extremely poor. So one of the things, for example, if I'm delivering safeguarding training to any organisation, I'm going by, look, Access NI can only tell you if the person has a conviction. But what we need to do is make sure that there's lots of individuals who have committed sexual offences, who are arrested children, but for all sorts of issues in relation to the judicial processes, got to do with interviewing, court processes, they don't get as far as being convicted. So therefore, you should never have your safeguarding based solely on is something showing up or not on an Access NI or DBS, quite rightly, which happens in England, Scotland and Wales. The DBS, if it doesn't show up on that, you also have due diligence to make sure that is there any other cause for concern, which is why, therefore, in a reference form, it leaves it open to be not just for convictions. So your Access NI will give you convictions, not arrests, not investigations, because, you know, equally, you can be investigated for something that you didn't do. So that's why, you know, again, it doesn't go on for people who are being investigated. So it covers convictions. So that's why references are your belt and braces. It's, references are telling, are asking, but are you? Is a reason for concern.
It's also why the discussion around the biggest party in Northern Ireland saying that as soon as there's a police investigation, their responsibility is gone, is worthy of massive, massive scrutiny and questioning. Marcel, thank you for coming on this morning. Joanne Barnes, CEO of Nexus NI. Good morning to you, Joanne.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, look, your organisation will interact with many victims of sex abusers and people who commit sex crimes that are abhorrent. Every one of them abhorrent here in Northern Ireland. How do you view Sinn Féin's approach to all of this?
Just really picking up on the safeguarding legislation of Northern Ireland, I think there's been many missed opportunities for Sinn Féin to take action if they had genuine concerns around their ability to inform the British Heart Foundation for fear of prejudice or privacy legislation. The safeguarding legislation of Northern Ireland would inform them that they could have contacted the PSNI and raised their concerns with them directly. You know, when we undertake safeguarding concerns reviews, we look at who do we inform? Do we report this externally? That has been a real missed opportunity for Sinn Féin. So it's really reflecting back on learning from this. What learning have they taken? Has an investigation been undertaken? Because my real concern is that 10 months or so this individual was employed with access to vulnerable people, albeit maybe not on a one-to-one basis to warrant the threshold of an enhanced access NI check. But ultimately, they still had access. So our ability to protect those vulnerable people and the British Heart Foundation's ability to protect them was compromised by not having the information at hand. The individual also has to take responsibility for that too, because obviously they didn't inform the British Heart Foundation as a potential employer that they were under investigation. And then there's the reference provision by two employees at that time of Sinn Féin, whether they were personal or professional references. Ultimately, I would be assuming as an employer, if I'm writing to an employee of Sinn Féin, the previous employer of the candidate, that they would be providing with a professional reference, not just a personal reference. So what is Sinn Féin's policy on that? Has that been followed?
Sinn Féin are saying that they did not provide a reference. Look, the way Sinn Féin operate, and anybody that works for Sinn Féin will know this, is that Sinn Féin and every other political party in Northern Ireland as well, that they restrict and control many of the behaviours, the actions, the activity of their members in their private lives. Because Sinn Féin say, at the end of the day, you're working for us. And you, what you do, how you behave appropriately or inappropriately in your private life affects us as a party. So when Sinn Féin say they did not provide a reference, and it was and Sean McGeer, their most senior communicator in Northern Ireland, the man who gave Sinn Féin politicians permission to go on and talk to the public or not, if McGeer said no, it didn't happen, how was Sinn Féin not being asked for a reference, Joanne?
Yeah, well, any employer being an employee being approached for a reference, they're acting on behalf of the employer. So, you know, that must be clear, and Sinn Féin must have a process around that, as all employers do. So if Nexus receives a reference request, that's responded to by our HR department, not by individuals directly employed by the organisation.
Now, what is your position on clearly Sinn Féin's stated view on this yesterday through Conor Murphy? Clearly, their stated view is it was up to the police to take total responsibility and total control of what the public knew about McMonagall.
Well, it's a collaborative responsibility. Back to Marcella's point on safeguarding is everyone's responsibility. The PSNI receives thousands of reports of crime a day. Individuals cannot be followed end to end in terms of what they're doing. We don't know what, if there was bail conditions imposed on this individual about what they could and couldn't do. So ultimately, if Sinn Féin became aware that this individual was being employed by a charity who supports vulnerable individuals, vulnerable children being the most pertinent issue here, given the offences that they were being investigated for, they could have taken action and contacted the PSNI directly and raised their concerns with the PSNI around the individual's employment.
So are you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Joanne, but are you saying that Sinn Féin need to look at this again, need to do a review of their public position on this, or what are you saying?
I think any organisation needs to take learning when there's been mistakes made, and there clearly has been mistakes here made, and we need to take responsibility for that when we are employing individuals and we have safeguarding responsibilities to vulnerable people. So, you know, Sinn Féin need to take note of that rather than become defensive in terms of what they did or didn't know. The can do better attitude is always welcomed and taking learning from that. So, yeah, I do think they need to review the actions that they've taken to date.
Joanne, thank you. Good morning to you. Joanne Barnes from Nexus calling on Sinn Féin to now review their policy around this. When Joanne just referenced there, regardless of what Sinn Féin did or didn't know, you see, that leads me to yet another question, because there seems to be, well, we're certainly curious about how Sinn Féin on either side of the border are talking about this. So a senior member of Sinn Féin in the Republic, Owen O'Brien, has suggested the party did not know McMonagall was working for the British Heart Foundation, even though Conor Murphy did not dispute in his interview with Enda McClafferty up here in Northern Ireland that they knew. So Owen O'Brien, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing, local government and heritage, was speaking on RTE's Morning Ireland programme and was asked about the story in the Irish News today about Michelle O'Neill being at the same Stormont event as Michael McMonagall in February 2023. Now, this is after Sinn Féin had dismissed him.
Well, first of all, I haven't read the story, so I don't know the details of it, and I don't know if Michelle even knew that Michael was at that event. What's clear is the two former party employees who provided work references for Michael should not have done so. They did so without authorisation from the party, and those people are no longer in the employment of the party. And that after the revelations about Michael McMonagall became knowledge to the party suspended him and had no contact with him afterwards. Those references should not have been provided. But unfortunately, the party wasn't aware of this and didn't become aware of it until the last fortnight.
But did the party he know that Michael McMonagall had got new employment, that he was working for the British Heart Foundation? And if so, should they not have told the British Heart Foundation that there's a problem here?
So my understanding is the party didn't know. And in fact, all of this only became knowledge to the party when the issue of the references provided without authorisation from the party was brought to the party's attention the last 2 weeks. So again, the crucial issue here is references were provided without authorisation from the party. They shouldn't have been provided. And again, like I say, I haven't seen or read the story in the Irish News today, but it's quite possible Michelle was at an event and might not have even known the individual was there in whatever capacity they were there.
Well, it's quite possible. Why don't you just tell us? Has no one asked her? Did you see McMonagall there? So that's the Sinn Féin position in the Republic this morning, that the party didn't know McMonagall was working for the British Heart Foundation. Conor Murphy, meanwhile, here in Northern Ireland yesterday, did not dispute that Sinn Féin knew McMonagall was working for the British Heart Foundation when he was asked by Enda McClafferty if the party owed it an apology or an explanation.
So as far as you're concerned, Sinn Féin does not owe the British Heart Foundation an apology around all this, does not owe the British Heart Foundation an explanation as to what happened, because they have lots of questions.
Well, they may have, but I would like to somebody, maybe the British Heart Foundation, tell us what the legal responsibility we had in the middle of a police investigation was to go off interfering with that, to spread accusations or to inform people of suspicions about someone who hadn't been at that stage charged. There's a legal question here, Enda, that you have to also adhere to. I get the dilemma that the British Heart Foundation was in, but we suspended the person. We had no more dealings with him until they terminated his contract, and the investigation had not run its course.
How is it not prejudicial of you, Conor, and your party to have suspended him? If it's prejudicial to talk about him to someone else, why was it not prejudicial to suspend him? Now, let's think this through. So Owen O'Brien in the Republic of Ireland is saying that the party did not know. But the party did know. Their director of communications or most senior press officer, I'm not sure what Sean McGeer's title was, he knew. The party did know. Sean McGeer knew. Keelan McGinley knew. Because they'd been asked for references. So again, and when I say what you're being asked to believe, maybe it's true. So Sean McGeer, in constant interaction with all of those people at the top of Sinn Féin, he didn't mention to any of them, by the way, McMonagall's working for the British Heart Foundation. Then McMonagall is at Stormont at a British Heart Foundation event, and no one from Sinn Féin noticed him at that event, right? Thomas in Belfast. Morning, Thomas.
Morning, Stephen. Excuse me. Stephen, it seems to me this isn't a legal obligation, it's a moral obligation that we're talking around the whole show. So what I'd like to say to you is, an incident that happened in my street. There was an individual who moved into my street and lived there for 3 years, which is 300 yards from two schools, primary and secondary. He worked in the local restaurant. For 3 years, this guy was in my street. Now, I got a knock at the door one night, and it was my neighbour telling me that he had information that this guy was a repeat offender with children. He had been up in court 3 times and charged 3 times. So, we approached him. The police turned up, took him out of that house, never seen him again. I asked the policeman on the evening, this guy is on the child sex offence register, and he moved in here, and that one member of any authority told anybody in the street that this guy had been moved in, and his exact reply to me, Stephen, was the police have no moral obligation to tell you where these people are living or being moved into.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, at the time, Stephen, you may guess, the women were ready to choke him in the whole street. He was out. He stood out at the door on a regular basis. He had a big Rottweiler dog. He stood there day in, day out. Went to work, came home, up and down the road. No one knew a thing about him. And the police officer said, unless you ring up, if he's been charged, he'll be on a register. So if we had rang the police, they could have confirmed that he was a registered sex offender. But if no one rung up, he would have been allowed to live in my street to this day with kids. And there were four wee babies up the stairs. He was a downstairs flat, and the guy above had four kids.
I think your call today at the end of this programme very much then sums up. You know, we've spent 90 minutes on it this morning. Nexus are calling for Sinn Féin to review their policies. There needs to be a big, big conversation in this country. What are we supposed to do? What is our duty to do when it's about child sex suspicion offences? We'll see you tonight in Nola Live at 10:40 on BBC One. Thanks for your company today.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story Podcast. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump offer two very different views on climate change. One of them will lead the world's greatest producer of fossil fuels and have the power to reshape global climate action. So what would a Harris or Trump presidency mean for the climate crisis? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.